Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Okay, it is 32 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. It's Dave Fanning here on this beautiful sunny Sunday afternoon. 51552 is our text. At Fanning RTE for your favourite singers or singing bits that you like. Jack L, how are you?
How are you doing, Dave?
I'm doing very well. Now, Jack L is here to take us through. Take us through singing.
Well, I've done a little bit of it over time.
You've done a little bit of it over time, indeed. I'm going to get to all that in a second or two, but let's just jump straight in. Can we start at the beginning of the 20th century?
Well, the beginning of the 20th, so we can go back, to 1902. Mr. Caruso was the first guy ever to record a song in Milan. He, I suppose, was the Michael Jackson of his day. He died quite early, 48 years of age. But that was, I mean, this vocal is important because it was the first ever recorded song. I mean, pre being able to amplification and all that kind of stuff, these guys had to sing in auditoriums with no amplification. So that's why they had these enormous
You'd be
voices.
Well up for that, wouldn't you?
I've got a pretty big voice that can fill an area.
So Enrico Caruso, he was the first person recorded, was he?
He was the first male, and a woman called Nellie Melba, who was an Australian opera singer, she was the first female.
Okay, we'll give you a little bit of the sound of 2FM in 2021. Here's Enrico Caruso. Come on, Enrico. Spit me, Enrico. Tell us, what's that called, that track? Or, I bet you don't have the title.
No, I had it written down somewhere, but I can't find it now. It's just something like Puccini.
Oh, good start. Okay, well, while you're looking for that, I'm going to get some people who... Oh, by the way, funny thing is, on the Twitter machine, we have a bunch here, not one of them mentioned Enrico Caruso.
Well, it's I just thought, as an opening thing, and important vocals... If the first recorded vocal is obviously...
Okay, I'm going to give you just a few that have come in. And this first one says, I'd say yourself, Dave, because you never take a breath and the speed and the longevity. I'm talking about singing voices and that. Mary O'Donnell agrees. Let's go on to some people who are singing.
Your breath control is pretty impressive.
Angus Devine has Elvis Costello singing God Give Me Strength, written with Burt Bacharach for the film Grace of My Heart, loosely based on the life of Carol King. He really pushes his voice on this one, particularly after the second chorus. Beautiful. Vincent McCann says, Liam Clancy, surely one of the greatest and most distinctive voices. Liam Clancy and Tommy Makem, The Parting Glass. There's Andy Coogan's coming as well, Bowie's vocal, who you'd know, Bowie's vocal performance of Heroes, fab in my opinion. The band in flying form. 22nd Century Boy says Clannad and Bono in a Lifetime. Definitely we'll play that and show you the two different voices too. Fergal Quinn says Karen Carpenter's voice is a wonderful thing. Radio Dangerous Mondays in particular. Donna Summer, State of Independence. Iron Balls McGinty wants Etta James. I'd rather go blind. Peter Vogelaar, Scott Walker, next, Frank Booth, Graham Parsons, Emmylou Harris, Love Hurts, Dermot wants something else. Have I got the second page here? Right, do you? I'll just give you one or two more. Ben Parker says Jeff Buckley, Grace. Where's McKee says Emmylou Harris, Wrecking Ball, Morrissey, and I Know It's Over, Niamh McCulloch and Ocean Rain says Mary O'Donnell, Pat Carthy says Mahalia Jackson, Mavis Staples and Summer of Soul. Mary Clayton stealing Gimme Shelter as well. Dennis McCalmont is there. Mark, he wants anything by Amy Winehouse. Lennon, Come Together, I'm the Walrus. Jeff Buckley for G Heart. Return to Magenta. You Can Stop Me, by the way. Party Fears Too by the Associates. The Dirty Circus wants Pink, Bobby McGee, or Booby McGee. And Bo Morricone wants Freddie Mercury, Bohemian Rhapsody. There's too many. Okay.
Well, so, this is a wonderful subject because everybody has an opinion on this
You know? And I mean, my thing all the time is, judge. I keep saying all the time, like someone like Bob Dylan is a pretty lousy singer, but he's one of the best vocalists I've ever heard in my life, because that's what it's about.
Yeah, well, it's about, you know, it's about telling a story. It's about being believable. People buy into your voice. Some people have that, some people don't. It's not about the technical side of it, basically. It's either do you believe the singer or don't you believe the singer?
Exactly. Exactly.
And yeah, Dylan is the perfect example of the non-singer genre, like Leonard Cohen or, you know,
Tom Waits and all this. Although, how dare I even put them into any category that says I can't sing?
I think Tom can actually sing, but he likes to play characters.
His first albums are very different than the, Yeah, exactly.
I saw him in the Rex Theatre in Paris years back, and what amazed me about him was the different. It was like an old woman would appear, then the tramp would appear, and then this crooner would appear. It was just unbelievable. So, you know, singing isn't just about technique, it's about how does it make you feel, where does it take you, and Tom Waits is the perfect example of that.
Okay, we'll get to some of those people here, but I'm still going back. You had Caruso to start, and just playing a tiny bit of Aretha Franklin here, Amazing Grace. Now, that's a lot of people singing.
Yeah, no, this is a live one in a church. I think it was one of the biggest gospel-selling albums of all time, in the New Temple Baptist Church in Los Angeles in 1972. And she, it takes a while for, I think it takes over a minute for this to start, but here she is. There's a text in there from a TikTok fan. It says, I get on with it. On your bike there, Aretha. Well, here, I think what's interesting, I mean, everybody sings 1,000 notes now in every syllable, but I think this is the perfect example of how to actually do that, where it's not just for effect, but it's actually soulful. And that was Aretha's gift, wasn't it, that she could just take you there. And this is brilliant because the crowd kind of are driving her on as she's singing it. So it's in a church.
I'll give you a bit of Nina Simone.
Oh, brilliant.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, it's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel.
Caruso, Aretha Franklin and Nina Simone. Well, tell me about Nina.
Nina is brilliant. I mean, I thought that was a good example of Nina's voice because it starts with just her singing and vamping, and obviously she was a prodigy piano player, classically trained, played in gin joints, just had it all. But And I was surprised to read she supposedly only like one or two octaves, where you would think she had this massive voice. But once again, you're into the area of where when she sang, you believed her, you know, you were there with her. And this particular song, because it just starts with the naked vocal, you can hear her dexterity and her ability to just paint a picture of a beautiful day.
Okay, we're talking to Jack L. We're looking at singers on the programme today. 51552 at Fanning RTE if you want to tweet it. And exactly what you're talking about there and what we have with Nina Simone. We also have it many years later with Whitney Houston, just starting off with vocals. Very different.
If I should stay, I would only be in your way, so I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And
it's beautiful, yeah. I mean, she had one of the most beautiful voices ever. I mean, she Aretha Franklin kind of passed the baton on to her. I mean, the tragedy is that she blew her voice up kind of by abusing it. Maybe over-singing, maybe, you know, too much of a... having too much fun. So it's kind of a pity when you hear her in latter years with that raspy kind of voice that isn't still there. But yeah, no doubt Whitney, if you ever hear her singing the American National Anthem at the Super Bowl, I think it was, it's once again, it's a thousand bits of melody in every syllable, but it's just beautiful. And it's just the control she has, where it's kind of like you're balancing a butterfly on your finger or something like that. It's just it's imaginative.
We'll always love you.
Yeah, it is. Pretty good. So, balancing a butterfly on her finger.
Yes,
right.
Indeed.
Okay.
Well, singing is an odd thing, you know. It's a muscle in your throat. But it's not just physical. It's mental. It's, you know, spiritual. It's everything. So, and that's why you have a connection with people. When you sing, you're basically sending, you know, vibrations across the air into somebody else's ears, into their imagination. And it's a pretty wild thing when you think about it, you know. And that's why great singers didn't have to be technically great. They just had to be really good at, you know, telling that story.
Well, how about this one here, which also opens on just vocals?
Well, we know where we're going, but we don't know where we've been. And we know seen, and we're not little children, and we know what we want, and the future is certain. Give us time to work it out.
Talking Heads, Road to Nowhere. Okay, what are you saying about harmonics there? Sorry.
Well, it's considered one of the great opening harmonics, you know, people singing in harmony. It's you got a female singing in there, you got himself singing in there. So it's more than a five-part harmony. They could have multi-tracked that one within an inch of its life. But yeah, just one of those great opening. It immediately draws you in there.
Okay, I'm going to go something completely different now, because one of the things about Mick Jagger, who I think is a fantastic vocalist, is that he seems to be parodying an American way of singing all the time.
Well, Little Richard. Basically set them all off. Him and McCartney,
absolutely.
Everybody.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to play the Stones or something, and this is kind of like, which, like, people say, I wonder what track would be the best. Like, in terms of, obviously, what do you call it? Girl with the Faraway Eyes is one I could play, because that's when he goes completely country. But I'm not playing that. Listen to like just what he does here. It's like he's always making a mockery of it all, and it just kind of works. Listen to him. Okay, this is the Rolling Stones. This is called Fool to Cry. Let's take a little blast of this. 51552.
He just turns where up the drawer.
Yeah, where he's just saying, I come home, baby. Like, I come home, baby. It's ridiculous. It's fantastic, though.
It's funny how you become used to it.
And I've been working all night long. Put my daughter on my knee. And she said, Daddy, what's wrong? She whispered in my ear so sweet. You know what she said? She said, ooh, Daddy, you're a fool to cry. You're a fool to cry. And it makes me wonder why.
Yeah, I think he's very underrated, actually. I think he's one of the best. Here, hold on, what am I doing here? I've got to stop that one to go back to your ones. Hold on. Fool to Cry, Rolling Stones, that's Michael Jagger on vocals. Now, go back to you.
Well, I was saying, Little Richard inspired all these people. Yeah, everybody wanted to sound like Little Richard, basically, who came onto the scene in 1956 and just had that, woo! Everybody wanted to do that. It's all over, lots of Beatles stuff. I think Lennon used to actually take the mickey out of Paul McCartney for, I'll do your a Little Richard impression or whatever he'd... When he wasn't around, you know, it became a bit of a joke. But yeah, I think they all just wanted to be Little Richard, especially Mick Jagger.
Okay, what about this one here? This is completely different. The Big O.
I was all right.
Yeah.
For a while.
It was.
I could smile.
Dylan wrote in his biography chronicles that we all just. Roy was standing on Mount Olympus and we were all just looking up at him, you know. And I mean, he was a lot of the reason why the Traveling Wilburys got together was because they all wanted to sing with Roy. And he just had this amazing, I don't know, earth-shattering falsetto. And he could climb and climb and it was like there was no end. Here he goes. And this builds as it goes till he's right up there at the end. And obviously his tragic life adds so much to the melancholy in his voice.
Tragic life includes death from a motorcycle.
His wife died on a motorcycle.
His house burnt down.
His children, I think, were burned, yeah.
Bizarre life.
Really, really tough.
Roy Orbison.
I mean, for anybody, I don't know if we get to the end of this, but by the end of it is where we really, yeah. He really goes there. He goes to Mount Olympus.
And start me crying. I thought that I was over you, but it's true, so true. I love you even more than I did before. But darling, what can I do?
Call that's Roy Orbison. 51552 is the text. How about this, Sam Cooke?
Yes, indeed, one of the great voices, the soul Nat King Cole. I like to think of him. He just had a beautiful tone. Here we go.
I was born by the river in a little tent. Oh, and just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. was up there beyond the sky.
Change is going to come, Sam Cooke, yeah.
Sam Cooke, yeah, he wrote that one in response to Blowing in the Wind. You know, it was become a big part of the civil rights movement. And I could have picked Otis Redding, I could have picked Marvin Gaye, you know, they all had their, but to me, he just had the most beautiful voice. It just was so soothing.
Okay, but listen, a lot of the requests, 51552 at Fanning RTE, have asked for this one here, which frankly, if I never hear this song again, I'll be a happy man.
Is this the real life?
Well, anything to say?
Well, I mean, it is amazing. I don't think Freddie could sing so well because of his teeth. I just think he was gifted with a beautiful voice box that somehow could do the operatic stuff, but had this beautiful rasp in it, yeah, that made it rock and roll. And he was just such a flamboyant Dionysian character that it added more to the songs even. But his voice was truly amazing. Yeah. I mean,
do you know the stuff he does at Live Aid where he's going, hey, oh, oh, and the crowd goes,
basically vocal warm up.
He's basically that's normally what people do in the dressing room.
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't have a private dressing room, so he did it in front of 80,000 people.
Yeah, and you hear everybody doing that before gigs, so everybody. Yeah.
And the audience joined in.
Yeah, one of those great moments, yeah. But I mean, you could pick Manny. I mean, I liked Who Wants to Live Forever or the one, the opera song he did. I mean, he could hit notes nobody else could hit. I mean, he did have a stunning voice.
Put a gun against his
head, pulled my trigger. But I think this is like three songs put together. And obviously the opera side of it and the harmonies and how high, it just keeps getting higher and higher as well.
I remember we had Ed from Radiohead on the program. He says, we're working on a thing at the moment. It's called Paranoid Android. It's our Bohemian Rhapsody. Three bits.
Yeah, another great one. Thom Yorke featured a lot, actually.
People. Yeah, Thom Yorke has featured a lot
people
here.
Wanted it. Yeah. I mean,
here, I'll give you this other Queen one you mentioned here, which is Who Wants to Live Forever. Is there something special about this one?
The end of it.
I'm not getting to the end.
Well, see, the thing about singing is it's the big note at the end of
I'll tell you what, I do have an ending of one here, which is one of the great vocalists, no question about it. I remember having a fascinating conversation with a guy who's no longer with us, Chris Cornell.
Yes.
He really had a great voice, didn't he?
Of the rock singers, you could pick Kurt Cobain, you could pick, you know, Brian Jones from AC/DC or Eddie Vedder, but Chris Cornell just had an enormous, ferocious monster of a voice. And this, if you're playing,
I
saw him doing it live in the point, and he actually plays his throat. He starts hitting his Adam's apple basically with the side of his hand, and starts shifting through notes, which I've done and it hurts. And I've seen him do it a few times, but I don't see him do it at every show. But it's as vocal moments.
Hold on a second. I remember seeing John Otway and Wild Willie Barrett loads of times, and John Otway used to bang his head all the time with the microphone, like really, really hard. And then like Wild Willie would fall all over them. They were brilliant. Anyway, point is, he used to bang his Adam's apple.
Yeah, you'll hear it. It's like an Eastern kind of thing, a pentatonic scale moving through the notes. I've seen him do it live. A great gig, actually, Audioslave and The Point. It was one of those ones where the whole place
I saw them
place
at the Ambassador at the top of a column. Said, okay, here
heaving,
goes. Are you ready for this? Hold on a second. This is the bit you're talking about. It's called Show Me How to Live, and it's Audioslave. And think of banging your Adam's apple here.
Show me how to live. Show me how to live.
after doing that every night, could you?
Well, when I first heard that recorded, I thought it was a digital effect. Yeah. But then when I saw him live, I saw that he was actually doing it live, yeah.
I must ask you about doing 4 and 5 nights in a row of the kind of stuff you do. We're talking to Jack L, by the way. I'd say it's a killer after a while.
It hoits. I did two shows yesterday, a matinee show and an evening show down at a beautiful Ballykeith amphitheatre. But it can be taxing on the old vocal cords, all right, Jim.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. I'll tell you what, I've got about a minute I want to play this thing. Just the difference with something. Listen to the way this starts off. The beauty of it, and the way his voice comes in. Just one of the greats. In fact, I shouldn't be playing it now. I should play it later to have loads of time. Jimmy Cliff. It's Jimmy Cliff, Many Rivers to Cross. Oh. It's such a drag to be on your own. My woman left and she didn't say why. Well, I guess I'll have to cry. Many rivers to cross. Paul, come on yourself. Do you have a favourite vocalist?
Your man from the Thai is not too bad. his name escapes me at the moment.
Okay, I'll tell you what. This is somebody that Jack L's been talking about, like in terms of what an influence. Miss Molly, Jack L is here and he's talking vocalists and all the rest of it. So you had, where did we go? Yeah, you had one for an ending of Elvis Presley to from an American trilogy, yeah?
An American trilogy, yeah. It's one of his, I mean, you could pick any Elvis song. Obviously, as he went along, he got more operatic and I always love that story that Paul Simon, I think, heard that he was doing Bridge Over Troubled Water and Elvis is doing, in Vegas, he's doing Bridge Over Troubled Water and he went to see it. And he said it was great. Until the end, where it was like fireworks, and it was just so over the top, it kind of ruined the song. But American Trilogy, it just has that massive note at the end. I think this one was from 1971, a Mickey Obrey song, which was much more relaxed. You know, once again, it was quite a country song, but Elvis took it to another dimension. It's three songs together. It's Dixie, Battle Hymn of the Republic, and All My Trials, which was a gospel song. And, you know, you could have picked Hound Dog. I mean, that's, to me, is just the rawness. But this for the note at the end is
all right, okay, well, we have the end. Here it goes.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. It is true, this
definitely bust the jumpsuit that day.
You burst a jumpsuit every day. All right, I'm going to talk to you about just how difficult it might be, like five nights in a row, whatever. But here's one here, which is pretty classic stuff. All right, no question about it. And a lot of people have asked for this, Mary Clayton, as in Pink Floyd, The Great Gig in the Sky. Oh, no, Mary Clayton, what am I talking
about?
Claire Torrey. Mary Clayton is, what do you call it, The Stones.
Right, yeah. Yes.
Claire Torrey, who got paid a fiver or something for this.
Claire Torrey, well, she actually sued them. Yeah. I think, was it 2004 or something? And she got credited on the Great Gig in the Sky from Dark Side of the Moon. She was asked to come in. She did two takes. She was paid 30 quid, I think.
Yeah.
And she didn't know it was going to be on the album. She saw the album in the shops, and she just made it up. They said to her, "Listen, your voice, it just played like it's an instrument." And initially, she was going, "Ooh, baby," and all that kind of stuff. But they kind of moved her away from that and just said to her, "You know, just pretend your voice is a guitar or something like that." And it was one that turned up a lot. A lot of people called this out online.
Yeah, pretty spectacular. Here goes, Claire Torrey.
Thank you.
Well, you can see why she only did two takes, and then when they asked for a third, she said, oh, I think you have it there.
Yeah, I think she got out of bed, came in the middle of the night and went back to bed and got her 30 quid and off she went.
Well, yeah. But my God, I mean, there was nothing left in the tank after that.
By the way, we are talking, in case you haven't noticed, about the voice. And that's Claire Torrey's voice on The Great Gig in the Sky, Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd, in other words. Now, there's a bunch here. 51552 is the text, and also at Fanning RT, and Mark Carter sent in a few here. My God, they go from David Bowie to The Doors to The Beatles to Van Morrison to Bruce Springsteen, Little Richard, specific tracks, of course, all the way. Please play any song from David Bowie for my beautiful partner, Shawnee, is it? Who treated us both to a beautiful weekend in Castleknock Hotel on our way home to Galway. That's from Bernie. Hooray! Meatloaf, need I say more? We'll get to that in a minute or two, because we're just talking about Prince, the artist formerly known as Prince, and Meatloaf had trouble with his record label and he was called the artist formerly known as Mince. Sorry.
Oh, yes.
Okay, let's move on.
Yes.
So the point about it is, anyway, I want to move to something else here, because one of the things Mark says is, Sinead, Troy, for crying out loud, if you don't play that, get out. Now, Sinead didn't tweet because she's got a bit of a problem with the Twitter machine today, I do believe. So you tell me, Troy.
Troy, yeah, I put Troy on the list myself because I think it's from The Lion and the Cobra. It's based on the Yeats, No Second Troy. But this is obviously when the first album came out, it was like, what? Where did this voice come from? You know, it's kind of breaking new ground. But it's a lesson for any singer in pathos, in dynamic, because so much of singing isn't about how loud can you sing. It's about how soft can you sing. Because when you sing softly, people turn their ears up. You know, so there's so much involved in singing about dynamic that people forget. That's why a lot of the music today kind of flatlines, because it's just, not to sound like an old person, which I am, it flatlines because it's just loud, you know. And especially live gigs are very much so about dynamic, drawing people in and then seeing how...
Do you know, we've been talking 45 minutes, we haven't mentioned auto-tune yet. Good! Here's Sinead, Troy.
Dublin in a rainstorm, sitting in the long grass in summer, keeping warm. I remember it. Every restless night, we were so young then, we thought that everything we could possibly do was right. And we moved, stolen from our very eyes. And I wondered where you went to. And tell me, when did the light die? You will rise. You'll return, let me. Phoenix from the flame.
Album from Sinead. What are you saying there?
It's pure opera. I mean, as it goes on here, you know, she explodes and then it drops down again to a whisper. And I mean, Sinead's voice is just it's a beautiful force of nature. It's
There's one here that says, can't leave out soul legends like Otis Redding, Sam Cooke, Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell, Mary Wells and Kim West. And also on the rockier side, there's Eddie Vedder and Tools, Maynard James Keenan. That's from Connor. Jax, that's you, obviously. Jax singing Hallelujah or anything voiced like Velvet.
Oh, thank you very much.
Wonderful to see him live last night, says Jane.
Yeah, we had a fantastic time. Yeah. Great to be back out doing it live.
Yeah, right, my God.
While the sun shines.
How about this guy here, right? I actually went to Belfast. Oh, I'll never forget that trip, going to Belfast with Jerry Ryan to see this guy. let's just say it was good fun. Are you ready for this?
Who is it?
Who is it? My God, quick, stand well back. Diana's favourite. And Dorma, it is Pavarotti. Keith, you got, if you ever meet Keith from Boyzone, you got to ask him the story of Pavarotti. It's one of the funniest.
He spent,
they were playing in Italy with Pavarotti. They were going to be on the same stage. Boyzone was a big scene and all that. And he couldn't understand all the guys on the stage going around saying, Luciano, be blah, blah, blah. Is he playing support? Who's Luciano? Is it a band? What is it?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Anyway, where was I? Yes, you're a fan, are you?
Well, who wouldn't be a fan of probably one of the greatest singers of all time? Nessun Dorma, Let No One Sleep. How's your Italian? I think that no one is sleeping. Obviously, we all know it from 1990 World Cup. Puccini aria from, I think, 1972. He didn't normally play the part that sang the song, but he did it with the three tenors, with Carreras and Domingo. Biggest selling classical album of all time, I think. And obviously, it brings back beautiful memories for us of 1990 in the World Cup and a special time. And once again, the end note on this is just stratospheric. And no one could quite hit it. And when you saw the three together, here we go, here he is.
I can do that.
Yeah. Early in the morning. But when you heard him up against Carreras and Domingo, you just heard why Pavarotti had just a little bit more strength. I mean, the vocal voice box is a muscle. I mean, it's not all about strength, but it is about being able to maneuver your vocal cords.
We had Sinead there. You know, let's just do one or two more Irish as we're at it. And in terms of, God, can I find it now? I'm sure I can somewhere, yeah. Here it is, here actually. Look, oh no, here it isn't actually. You better keep talking there. I'm trying to find something.
Yeah, well, I mean...
do you mean? I'll tell you what, how about a little bit of Liam Clancy, maybe?
Okay.
Or no, how about Luke Kelly? Maybe?
Well, folk is a massive part of it because it's storytelling,
on
you know?
On Raglan Road of an autumn day I saw her first and anew that her dark hair would weave a snare that I might one day rue.
Have you sung that in front of an audience?
I did an album of the best of the lockdown sessions and I actually got to sing it.
Hold on, the best of the lockdown sessions is the current album release.
The current album,
obviously.
I have. Yeah, yeah. we got a good vibe going on the... every Saturday night for, God, I don't know how long it went on for, but people would congregate online and I would do a gig on a Saturday night and, got an album out of it. So I got to sing this classic. Obviously, Luke is the king of this song. He's kind of like the folk Frank Sinatra, where his voice is just lived in. You go to the places, it's like an oak tree or something like that. And put to the great words of Paddy Kavanagh, it's just one of the greatest pieces of art ever created, I think.
Okay, well, as I say, I'm going to stay Irish for a second here because I think the juxtaposition between these two, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's such a great song. Planet and Bono. Five, one, five, five, two. We're talking voices.
Two voices there.
You were playing with Moya recently.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to Moya. I did a duet with her on a TV show, a song of mine, Rooftop Lullaby. So, I mean, that was a dream for me because I know, you know, Moya and Bono singing this song and Clonard in general is just like something from my formative years. But hearing Bono, I mean, his voice on this and that raspy roar he can do is just amazing. But he also has a beautiful, he's several octaves he can go through. I don't know, the one I chose was A Honeymoon in Vegas, where he did Can't Help Falling in Love with You, where he starts in his low voice, then moves to the middle, and by the end he's singing falsetto. And it's just, he has an amazing voice, that live also, he can pull it off like nobody else.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, how about something completely different? Look, Marvin Gaye. Good voice.
Oh, the voice, yeah. Like I say, we could have, Sam Cooke I chose, but I could have picked Marvin just as easily.
So many things.
I mean, how do you choose the greatest soul singer? I mean, you hear Marvin, you go Marvin, and you hear Otis, and you go Otis. So it's just impossible to choose at the end of the day. But truly one of the great. And that falsetto, he just hits, you know, shoots up to it, no problem.
Okay, there's a few here. I know they're not cool for enough for yizzers. But Mariah and George Carey do have the skills. Landers and Bray, what are you on about? Don't be ridiculous. Of course they are. Hold on a second.
Well, Mariah had like, was she four or five octaves, and she had that whistle singing, they call it, that she would do.
Do you know, her mother was Irish from Cork.
Really?
Oh, God, you better check that up. Maybe I'm wrong.
Mariah
Carey, yeah. But she was also, wasn't she an opera singer? Oh, God, I shouldn't have started this.
Really?
I think so. 5-1-5-5. I'll tell you at the end of the break if I just dreamt that.
Yeah, well.
Dave Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
When I was a little girl, I had a rag doll. Only doll I've ever owned. Now I love you just the way I love you.
documentary.
It's very good.
Yeah, and you know what, Gas? She was trending on Twitter, and I was going, oh God, is she after dying? And she was trending because she's just fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
And people were looking at it going, my God, Tina Turner is the business.
Yeah. Well, you picked that one particularly, obviously, River Deep Mountain High, yeah. Uh-huh. Because she's just so damn good on it.
Yeah.
Okay, where else do you want to go with all of this then? Like, just look at some of the so many examples. How about something completely different? Look, I mean, this is pretty damn good, all right, as well. Just stop that one. Some do this at Whelan's. It was half full.
Wow. Such an influence on many of the modern singers, you know?
Yeah.
From your Bon Ivers, your Damien Rice's, you know? But just one of those unique, special voices. And the great song, one of the greatest songs ever written that he rewrote with his
voice.
And
you've done this yourself.
Yeah, I've sang this one. Like him, I was inspired by the John Cale version.
Yeah.
And
this was like a skipping rope version. I would have heard about the sacred chord, the David played, and well, do the Lord.
As Leonard's is kind of, jaunty.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll let it play for a second or two. This is Jeff Buckley with Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah.
Secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, hallelujah. Faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. And she tied you to her kitchen chair. And she broke your throne and she cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've seen this room and I've walked this floor. You know, I used to live alone before I knew you. And I've seen your flag on the marble arch. And love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. Hallelujah.
On television, I turn my seat around and hit the red button and say, oh, Jeff, you nailed it.
Well, he did. He made it his own, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
There's that, once again, the ending of the song, there's that beautiful note he holds for so long. I mean, he gripped, as much as anything, he gripped breath controls.
Listen, that's Jeff Buckley, by the way, with Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. Let's just take a look at, from basically his only album, regardless of what came later. Which is very sad, all right. You know, one album and dies tragically.
Yeah, it's such a loss, because when you hear his voice, and obviously he inherited his voice from Tim Buckley, he was like the upgrade of Tim Buckley's voice. Where
Tim Buckley's voice was all over the place. It was really like mad LA kind of. I don't think it was as kind of.
No, not as beautiful as Jeff Buckley's voice. But
anyway, let's take
such
a look.
Such a loss.
I'm going to take a look now at what people are saying, like on the text, in terms of like the non-singers, if you like. And I keep saying like so and so's a terrible singer, but he's the best vocalist around. So let's take a, I'll tell you what, we'll try with this guy first, right? This is like one of the all time greats as well. Have I got this right? I do, yeah. Which is Four Sheets to the Wind in Copenhagen. Oh, that's still playing. Hold on, let's get rid of that. There. Now,
oh yeah,
Tom. This is just, Tom Waits is going wasted and wounded. Yeah. It ain't what the moon did. Just in case you can't hear the first.
And line, you're
you
there. Yeah. You're there. You're on the street.
Fantastic.
Wasted and wounded. It ain't what the moon did. God, would I pay? Can I borrow a couple of bucks from you to go waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda, you go waltzing Matilda with me. I'm an innocent victim of a blinded alley, and I'm tired of all these soldiers here. No one speaks English and everything's broken, and my stasis are soaking wet. I do go waltzing Matilda, sing Matilda, you go waltzing Matilda with me. Now the dogs are barking and the taxi cab's parking. A lot they can do for me. I begged you to stab me. My shirt open, and I'm down on my knees tonight. Old Bushmills, I staggered. You buried the dagger. Your silhouette window light. As you go waltzing Matilda, waltzing.
Tom Waits.
Well, his voice obviously divides people. Some people think it's like drawing your nails down on a blackboard, but I think it's one of the most amazing instruments around. And
no question.
Such an amazing... I mean, it's theatre. I mean, when you, Tom Waits sings, it's theatre. He's, as I was saying earlier on, he can become a tramp, he can become an old woman, he can become an old blues man, but he just has an amazing ability. And this particular song, which is from Small Change, actually.
Small Change, that's
is,
it, yeah.
It just emotes... But so many images of city life, and you know, Waltzing Matilda. You know what Waltzing Matilda is? It's as far as I know, they used to call their backpack Matilda, and it was when you went walkabout, you were waltzing Matilda.
Because the backpack made you go from side to side.
Yeah, yeah. As far as I know, that's it. Now, I'm sure people will tell me different online. But yeah, I mean, Tom comes from the non-singer genre, I suppose. Leonard Cohen, Johnny Rotten, maybe Neil Young fits in there, but. People who could just, once I was saying earlier on, that you just believe them. They're just storytellers, and they're able to manipulate their voices. I mean, Bowie, in some sense, had a great ability to change his voice to suit a song, change his voice in a song to different people, really. And you know, there's more to singing than technique. I mean, they say it's 20% technique and 80% imagination.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you some of the ones that have come in on text, and I agree on some of my favourite kind of things. First of all, favourite all-round musician, what a great vocalist he is too, Steve Winwood. When Steve Winwood got loads of success with all his singles, I had no interest, frankly, but the stuff he did all before that. Look, Spencer Davis or Traffic.
Waterboard.
I think he's about four when he made this song.
My tip, and I'm gonna hunk up.
Davis Group, that is Steve Winwood. Here's one of the great rock vocalists, I think, of all time. Paul Rodgers was Free. Story about meeting Elvis. Goes backstage. So he's like, oh, no, I'm a singer in the band. The guys just beat him up and kicked him out. It's fantastic. So he had to go to the hospital. What was I going to say? Yeah, Paul Rodgers, one of the greats.
Yeah, I mean, rock singing is a genre, obviously, on its own, because it's. I often wonder how they can do it night after night. You know, we were talking about Chris Cornell or people like that, or Brian Johnson.
Well, should you stretch yours all the way in terms of the voice?
I mean. But some singers sing and it kind of rips almost. It sounds like they're ripping their voice as they're singing, you know, roaring. I mean, they say singing is controlled roaring, controlled crying, really. That's what it is. It's, you know, if you weren't putting the tune to it, you would just be shouting if you weren't able to put a bit of vibrato into it or something like that. But I'm always fascinated by rock singers, how they can sing night after night like that.
Well, here's somebody who just does it his own way, and you go with it or you don't. And I go with it all the way. Is he the sort of the single greatest of the last 30 years? Nick Cave.
Oh, yeah. Another non-singer.
Tears, my lady of the various sorrows, some begged, some borrowed, some stolen, some kept safe tomorrow. On an endless night, silver star spangled, the bells from the chapel went jingle, jangle. Like I love you.
Of course we do. Tell me, you've opened for him a few times.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to open for Nick Cave a few times over the years. And, I mean, they are one of the great live bands. If you want to go see how it's done, Nick Cave and the Wild Seeds.
The Bad Seeds, sorry. They are the best, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, as I say, he falls into the non-singing category, but is just one of the great modern troubadour storytellers, songwriters, so prolific.
Couldn't agree more.
Endlessly releasing great music.
The late Lane Staley from what's called Alice in Chains, the greatest MTV unplugged of all time, Frank Patterson, Kirsty MacColl, Bat for Lashes, Annie Lennox from Bernard and Galway. Maybe you're going to mention Sinatra, Angel Eyes, Presley, If I Could Dream, Scott Walker, My Death, Cheers. Okay, well, wait a minute now. Charlie Watford. There's about four in that one there, and you picked them all. So let's take Sinatra, because he's somebody I don't give a hoot about, frankly. Oh, I've just said the wrong thing, have I? Whatever. Go on, tell me.
Well, Sinatra just, he was known as The Voice.
He was.
And I think if you're doing, it was a very good year. Is that what we're going to play?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you could pick his big swing numbers and all that kind of stuff, but it was the lived-in feeling in his voice, and this particular one, I think it won a Grammy for being for its great vocal performances, and he would do it in one or two takes, you know. I think it was like the second take.
When I was 17, it was a very good year. It was a very good year for small town girls and soft summer nights. We'd hide from the lights on the village green. When I was 17.
You equate his voice with oak and whiskey.
Well, that's what you think of Sinatra. And as he got older, the interesting thing about Sinatra is his voice was softer when he was younger, you know, the Bobby Soxers, the first teenage movement. But then as he got older, as I say, it became like oak-soaked whiskey barrels.
Well, it was a very good year, Frank Sinatra. We're talking to Jack L. 51552. I don't think Florence Welch has gotten a mention yet. Super voice.
Yeah,
okay.
True.
One of the best voices in rock was Ian Gillan. Couldn't agree more from Deep Purple.
I'm thinking of Kate Bush as well. She
there's a real throwaway Deep Purple song called No One Came, which is fantastic. We're back in a second.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Okay, we don't have an awful lot of time left. Let's just see what we're doing vocals-wise. Scott Walker, he's been mentioned a few times.
Well, Scott was one of the great voices. And in this particular one he's playing, he's anti-singing, where he's taking the emotion from his voice. I think it's Farmer in the City you're going to play.
Yeah. He's taking the emotion from his voice.
It was from like 1994 or so. I mean, he was known for his... Here we go.
There we go.
Is he here? He's coming. Here he comes.
Come in, Scott.
Over.
Do I hear 21?
The Picasso of pop.
Yeah, there's a long queue for Scott Walker. Neil Hannon's at the top of it.
Well, Bowie was deeply influenced by him.
21.
And when they did make hit singles in the 60s, the Walker brothers, who weren't brothers, they were fantastic.
Yeah, they took the whole Spectre 21. Sound and made it their own. But this is from Tilt.
Oh, yeah.
In the early 90s.
It's not from Scott 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10.
No, there's only four of them. Scott Tree is my favourite.
This night you are mistaken. I'm a farmer in the city. Dark farmhouses against the sky. Every night I must wonder.
I love it, the Picasso of pop. Okay, I'm going to go over something else entirely different, a bit more up to date, and this is a live version as well, as you can hear. One of the greatest love songs of the last 50 years.
Yeah. I remember when this was on TV, I mean, immediately everybody just reacted to it. I mean, she was crying and everybody watching it was crying.
Such a good song.
I heard that you're settled down, that you found a girl and you're married now. That your dreams came true. Guess she gave you things I didn't give to you. Oh, friend, why are you so shy? It ain't like you to hold back or hide from the light. Hate to turn up out of the blue uninvited, but I couldn't stay away, I couldn't fight it. I had hoped you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me it isn't over. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. Instead, yeah. summer haze, bound by the surprise of our glory days. I hate to turn up out of the blue uninvited, but I couldn't stay away, I couldn't fight it. I had hoped you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me it isn't over.
Tickets were going for silly money outside, I'll tell you.
Yeah, what a voice.
Yeah. Now, hold on, just one last one from your point of view. 10 years dead this weekend, is it? I think it is, yeah. Amy Winehouse, yeah?
Amy Winehouse, yeah. I mean, I watched that Amy documentary the other night, and it's harrowing, I mean. But, just, she's Billie Holiday, isn't she? She's Ella Fitzgerald. It is a losing game. She just could tune in. Story fires, you can't.
Love is a losing game. Why I wish I never played. Oh, what a mess we made.
Yeah, I think that was going to be another album after, like, Back to Black was like 5 years before she died. So it was going to be another one. That's what everybody was going to look forward to, all right, yeah.
Yeah, indeed. Well, you're just in that situation where you're wondering what wonderful music would she be making now.
One of the greats that I haven't played, one of the all-time greats. There's so many movies coming out of rock stars, like in terms of documentaries and dramas and all the rest. And there's been one for this person, supposedly, for the last 20 years and still hasn't reached her. And it'd be fantastic because she just, it doesn't get much better. Are you ready for this, right? Spit Me Dusty, In Dust We Trust.
When I said I needed you, you said you would all. It wasn't me who changed, but you. And now you've gone away. Don't you see that now you've gone, and I'm left here on my own, that I have to find.
Springfield, you don't have to say you love me. It is Jack. It's coming towards the end. Just You, by the way, streamed the best of the lockdown sessions. That's still that's the current release.
That's the current release. Yeah, I'll probably be doing some more live streams before the year is out. But we're back on the road, so there's lots of tickets on jackluckman.com, and live gigs are happening again. I'm going to the UK, touring with Jules Holland for the month of August, and it's thankfully things are creaking open again. The sun is shining. There's a window there.
It is.
So.
Yeah.
Let's go.
JackLukeman.com. Okay, so what about the one? The Magic Days was the big one from a few years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, Magic Days 2017. So I'm just working on a new original album now to hopefully get it out in the new year, and hopefully things will continue to become normal.
And when you play
again
with the Proclaimers, do you think, oh, well, look.
Man, that was such a thrill to see them play every night and to see them do those songs, the soul of. I mean, I did a lot of gigs with them, but playing, I saw parts of Scotland I've never seen before.
Do you know, funny thing is that on this program in the last bunch of weeks, you always take one last one, remember. I can't think of a favourite. Do you have a favourite, do you?
No, I did enjoy Aretha, though. I mean, when we were playing that Amazing Grace, I thought, wow, that is just special, you know. But it is an impossible, you know, it's like a haystack.
I'm just looking through every one of them here. Do I have a favourite? Do I have a favourite? Do I have a favourite? And I don't think I do, really. I think it's kind of, I'll tell you what, I'll just go for something completely mad for a few seconds, which is really kind of silly. comedy in some ways. It's such a great song.
Oh, yeah.
Eric Burdon. I mean, like, they had about five number ones. They were all American songs. They didn't write them themselves. They were absolutely brilliant, the Animals. And listen to what he does.
Yeah,
Eric Burdon. You ready?
Yeah.
There is a house in New Orleans. They call the rising sun.
Sorry, that's the Animals, Eric Burdon. We never played this, look, for crying out loud. Are you ready? There's some vocals.
The night we met, I knew I needed you so. And if I had the chance, I'd never let you go. So won't you say you love me?
We never even got around here, Bob Dylan's and all the rest. Anyway, Jack L. Jack, thanks a million for dropping in. Good man
thanks
yourself.
Thanks for having me. That was great.
Love
the show.
Yeah, great. Good man yourself. Thank you. Stephen's coming up next. Thanks to producer John Daly, Graham Smith, Africa O'Connell, myself, Dave Fanning, back to 1 o'clock next Saturday. Enjoy the fantastic sunshine. Hope you enjoyed the programme too. As I say, Stephen will take it through for the afternoon. Good luck.
Dave Fanning on 2FM. 2FM.